Talkradio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
What the fuck was he talking about?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
All I'm asking is that you rock one masterpiece.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
It turns all your bad feelings into good feelings.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm ready for sex.
The Omega.
Prison and rehab have changed me. All these blankets have saved my life.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
He's got a nice sting.
He's not so bad with the singing and the playing and the shaking of the tookers.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I am starting to think that maybe you don't believe in me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you don't want no part of this shit.
Third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar, Shawn Michaels.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
It's a nightmare.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's a fairly standard week of wrestling. We don't have anything to preview or review.
No draft either.
No draft either. It's just straight up wrestling talk.
It's wrestling talk, yeah!
Yeah. Ah, it's almost like it's in the name.
For now.
Yeah. Yeah,
there was this period where, you know, someone decided, oh, we got to change the name of this show to something else.
And oh,
that was an era. That was an era.
That was that was a point in time that happened.
It was. I can't wait for more sports ball coverage from you, Omega.
Anyway. So let's go ahead and talk some wrestling. So this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network joining me tonight. You hear him already. We have Sir Rockin'.
Yeah, I'm here to be a dick to people. Woohoo!
Yay! See, with us we have one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yay, I'm here to not be a dick to people.
Good, we got the yin and the yang. This will work out fine. And the one who has to hold the balance together at the fate of everything, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Russ Talker, WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. No previews, no reviews, no draft, no doubt. Just wrestling talk.
No diggity?
No diggity, no doubt.
No kidding.
I see what you did there.
But we do have something to mention at the top. If you would like to be a part of our Royal Rumble entering contest, just say, I won in our chat, or you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, or go to facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network and say, I won in. It's that simple. Because the drawing is next week. How to think when Rumble is. It's in 2 weeks. Hey, Matt wants in. All right. Your name's added to the list. I thought you already did, but all right. You're there. Cool. So that's as simple as it is. You get added to our list, and we'll draw some numbers next week, and you get two entries, one for the men's and one for the women's. The winner of the Royal Rumble entry contest gets Tim's hat.
No, not getting my hat.
Why not?
I like this hat.
But you can get another hat. You can give them this hat.
No.
The Royal Rumble entry contest is what you can be a part of if you want in. It's for bragging rights.
So, you know, enter just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Give yourself a Barry Horowitz tap on the back if you win.
There you go.
We're really going with the Barry Horowitz references tonight. Okay, we're
Well, I mean, no one else can give you a pat on the back right now, so you might as well give yourself a Barry Horowitz.
Could you win TJ's Angel Grove t-shirt? That's up to TJ Omega.
No.
That's what they asked for in chat. I'm just passing things along. But hey, we got stuff to get into tonight, Tim, right?
Apparently we do.
Wow. Doing such a great job as host. Let's get in the quick hits.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel answers rapid-fire questions. Step up to the plate for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, we start off with Trish Stratus recently made some comments. Prime or even not prime, I feel like Sasha and I have this thing that I think fans want to see, and I think deep down I would like to see. Despite her, you know, having what seemed like her final match against Charlotte in 2019, do you want to see one more match from Trish Stratus, Omega?
I mean, her last one with Charlotte wasn't bad, so I wouldn't object. I mean, I'm not going to object to seeing Trish in action. Let's be honest.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know if I wanted to be Sasha.
Okay. Well, we'll circle back to that. Casey, do you want to see her against Sasha?
I mean, I could take it or leave it as well. Like, you know, echoing Omega's comments, her match against Charlotte was pretty good. So, and I know that Trish keeps herself in the type of shape that she could put on a decent match with Sasha if they were to do it. But I mean, at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and politic for the match. It's just kind of like, it would be like, if I found out it was happening, I'd be like, oh, sweet. If I found out for some reason, somehow, that they're like, this will never happen ever, I'd be like, well, that's disappointing, but also okay with me.
Tim, would you like to see her against Sasha Banks?
Well, I just feel like somebody should say, shut up and take Omega's money.
Hey.
I think the new store down the block from his house is already doing that.
Damn right.
there you go. Yeah, bring back Trish. Why not? Like Casey said, she keeps herself in good shape. She definitely would be able to go. Her match with Charlotte was a good one. It was entertaining. It was enjoyable. I wouldn't want to see her just go into a match cold. Like get her under the ring. Have a couple of warm-up matches with lesser named talent. Just like try to knock off some of the ring rust.
Like who?
Oh, I don't know.
Could you arguably knock off the ring rust in the Rumble?
Could, but
like a position in a Rumble like that's closer to just like a workout session in the ring. Spots, wait for everyone else to take spots, then take bumps until it's time for your next spot.
Yeah, the thing about the Rumble is it does have the ability to gloss over things just because there's so much action going on and so many people in the ring. If somebody isn't quite up to snuff, and we have seen this, there's enough distraction that it's not noticed.
Mm-hmm.
It gets covered. Using the Rumble as a jumping off for this match is not a bad idea at all. But I don't know. Right now, Sasha is higher on the totem pole than somebody like Natty. But Natty is used by WWE to get people like Sasha higher up on that totem, like she did with Charlotte Flair when Charlotte Flair came onto what was colloquially known as the main roster all those years back. And they continue to use Natty to get other talent over. I think Natty would be a great match for Trish to have. Natty would make her look like $1 million, plus help knock off some of that rust. Natty's such a veteran in that ring. Speaking from the wrestler's point of view, Casey, you'd be better doing this than me, but drawing the curtain back a little bit. The wrestlers only care about whether or not they're working. It doesn't really matter what part of the card they're on.
Wow. I mean, to some people, it matters what part of the card they're on, but most wrestlers, yeah, they just want to wrestle, so it doesn't matter if they're up first, anywhere in the middle, or on the end. Wrestling's wrestling. Really?
Yeah. I mean, you get to go out there and do all the stuff that you were trained to do, and you get to go out and have fun with a friend of yours who is, billed as your current opponent.
Yep.
And what you guys are doing is you're trying to give your best nine times out of 10, 99 times out of 100. You're trying to give the best entertainment value that you can give the audience.
Absolutely. And I mean, the amount of rust that one like is not the same among all wrestlers. Like there are some guys who've taken, you know, years off and they come back and it's like they wrestled yesterday. And then there are other guys who, you know, oh, I missed this month because of this, that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden they forget how to walk to the ring. So, I mean, whether or not Trish theoretically have a good match with Sasha without having matches before, maybe it just depends on how quickly she could reacclimate herself to the ring, right?
Exactly.
So Omega brought up, not completely on board with Sasha. Omega, who were you thinking about?
I mean, no real shock. My first thought was Bayley.
Okay.
That is my particular dream match at this point. That's my Sting and Undertaker that might actually happen. More to the point, like right now, just character dynamic would work better for that.
Yep, that's true.
Yep. I kind of find better parallels to them.
Okay.
That's just me. Like, well, let me ask you,
what kind of a match do you think she'd be able to have with somebody like Asuka?
Whew, that's really difficult to say.
Yeah.
Like, Asuka is such a different competitor than anything she had in the Attitude Era. I mean, I still think it would be good, but I don't. That would be an interesting match. I don't think Trish wins the match, but definitely an interesting one.
Yeah, I think Trish wrestling Asuka might expose Trish a little too much.
Yeah. Maybe, but I mean, like Omega said, like, I don't know if a dynamic of like an Asuka Trish match, well, on paper looks awesome, just in the position that Asuka is now, and then having Trish come in would almost give them no reason to wrestle, just short of the fact of like having a wrestling match.
No.
Yeah, the dynamic would be off being both faces and both, like, especially right now, with if this were to happen, like, say within the next month, Asuka's got both women's titles right now. Like, both the Raw Women's and the Tag Team Championships. It's Trish is not the type to like walk back into the company and go, I want those belts. She's not Goldberg. But like to Tim's point, there is going to be a stark contrast in the in-ring styles. You know, Charlotte works, you know, like Charlotte works, you know, as a traditional wrestler and just very, very good at it. So she still works well with Trish. Asuka's such a different style of competitor from what Trish would normally wrestle against. I feel like there would be a clash in just their styles. I feel like the dynamic would be off.
Well, let me throw another match out. This one directed at you, Casey. Trish taking on Shayna Baszler.
Well,
why would you want Trish dead?
Yeah, because you kind of have to. I don't think anybody wins in a situation like that, because if you have Shayna go over on Trish, where obviously, like, you know, Shayna Baszler's an experienced cage fighter. She handily beats the crap out of women that are currently on the active roster on a regular basis. So bringing in someone who hasn't had a match in a couple of years to face someone who has the reputation that Shayna has, well, that's not going to look very good. Like, I mean, people aren't expecting Trish to come in and win. And then if they switch it up and have her win, well, how does that make Shayna Baszler look? It makes her look like she just lost to someone who hasn't wrestled in a number of years. So you can't really win for losing with a pairing like that.
No, neither one of those two matchups would really work very well. But aside from Sasha, Omega, I love your idea of Bayley. Just for the trash talk.
Yep.
The promos would be fantastic.
That's probably a program I could get behind.
Yeah, that'd probably make the match twice as long, just giving them each equal amount of time for trash talk.
There you go. So recently on an episode of AEW Dynamite, we saw the reunion of a certain club.
Did we?
Yeah.
A band got back together,
yeah.
The boys were back in town.
So, question is, what is your favorite wrestling stable reunion, Casey?
I could not think of my favorite. Yeah, I don't know. Like, when I think about, like, for some reason, when I think of, like, stable returns, The only thing that really popped into my head were stable formations and how those always seem to be better than the returns. And the only ones that I could vividly remember off the top of my head were like DX reunions. And I don't know if that's just because they've done more than anybody else of them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I had a lot of trouble coming up with anything that wasn't like a DX reunion, aside from maybe when Vince McMahon brought the NWO back to the WWE. But then
that was an epic failure for different reasons.
Well, I mean, up until WrestleMania, it was done really well. And then
Ego's got involved.
Yeah.
Ego's got involved and Nash's squad refused to cooperate.
No,
when they popped up there, it was exciting. So, I mean, I'll give as far as the reunion, I'll give it to the NWO, but as far as payoff, maybe not.
Michael, what about you?
Finger poke of doom.
Really?
No, of course not.
It was a stable reunion.
Yeah, it was. There were a few, there were two that came to mind, and one of them was the DX reunion, Triple H and Shawn, and it's mostly because they teased it out for a good bit.
About
and
six,
it wasn't
six,
them
weeks.
Like huh?
6-8 weeks they teased it for it.
Yeah. Like I like slowly building it up like that. And it wasn't, I liked how it wasn't even them saying like we're back together. It's literally just Vince losing his mind in the back just screaming about DX.
Okay.
The other one that came to mind was Evolution. Like the night after WrestleMania 30. Where Daniel Bryan just beat three members of Evolution in the same night. And now it's just three guys just pissed. Like, differences aside, because we're all pissed off at the GOAT. And I love that Daniel Bryan at that point was, like, they finally had to acknowledge Daniel Bryan. And they did it to the point where here's an extremely strong modern wrestling stable. You know, you've got, you know, four, with Ric Flair included, four former world champions in this stable combined, you know. And then it's like Daniel Bryan was so good at that point, it took all three to create a feud with him. Like that, I like that Daniel Bryan was so good and so hot at that point. You had to put all the villains back together just to have some kind of credible threat to him.
All right, what about you, Tim?
Well, I looked at this slightly differently. For most of them, that was after their in-ring career. But seeing the original Four Horsemen back together on that stage was enough for a pop.
Which year?
The first get-together on the stage.
Okay.
The original Four Horsemen.
Oh, at the reunion. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I had a Horseman one in my mind, so I was just making sure.
Okay. No, I'm talking about the original Fab Four.
Okay.
That's just the pop to hear the music and then see them all standing there and waving to the crowd and soaking in the adulation and adoration. But for actual reuniting to take everybody on. And here it is. I'm going to get called a homer or a nationalist or whatever, but the reunion of the Hart Foundation, which led to the new Hart Foundation, which led to the entire stable of the Hart family and friends, which led to the storyline of Owen versus Brett finally coming full circle,
mm-hmm.
which was, in my opinion, that's an underrated thing.
Okay. See, the Horseman one I thought of was like the summer of 98. Flair has been gone for WCW for a while, and Arn Anderson came to ring. He brought out Mongo and Benoit, I think, and Malenko, and then it's like, we need a fourth guy. Ric Flair, come on down. That's the one that jumped into my mind when you said Horseman. Because that was, you talked something that was building you didn't think was coming. Boom, out came Ric Flair.
Yeah.
All right. So, AJ Styles has made his intentions known online that he would like to face a Triple H at a WrestleMania. You guys want to see Triple H versus AJ Styles, Tim?
Triple H is at that point now where it's like, you know, you had your day. Just hang it up and take over Vince's role and get rid of some of the stupidity and in the final say of some things that are done that shouldn't be done.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Triple H has done the smart thing and has been the the face of the office for the longest time, rarely getting involved in stuff, and is on screen. The character of Triple H has been allowed to, we talk about how we're happy that Bayley's character has been allowed to progress. Triple H's character has been allowed to progress.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, it's AJ Styles, and Triple H hasn't come back to the point where, like, enough, fuck off, piss off, we don't want to see you anymore, go away. He hasn't done that. So AJ versus Triple H, that's a bit of a contrast in styles. That would be a potentially interesting match to watch, as long as it's not, held off for too long.
Casey, what about you? Are you interested in seeing Triple H and AJ?
Kind of. I mean, the idea intrigues me. It's just a matter of, like, when I think about it, I'm conflicted of, like, well, do I want it to be like a match in the ring, or do I want it to be cinematic style like AJ had with Taker? Because that would, like, I mean, obviously that would be ideal, because it would highlight the best of both guys. It would give, Triple H the ability to hide anything that, he might not, same reason that it worked with Taker. Mm-hmm. He could work a good cinematic match and not have to worry about any of the restrictions he has being an older wrestler who is not that active. And I mean, AJ Styles will be able to work with basically any scenario, but Triple H is also probably a little bit more capable in the ring than Taker would be.
Uh-huh.
So putting them in an actual match together probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I just worry about whether or not we would get, like, Sting Triple H, because I don't really want a match like that between AJ Styles and Triple H.
How old is Triple H now?
Hold on, Tim. You don't want to see all the TNA guys come out to defend AJ Styles against Triple H and DX, no?
No, I don't want all of that outside involvement. If they're going to have
Joseph
a match.
Parks here?
Joseph
if they're going to have
Samoa
a match,
Joe.
They need to have a regular match. Samoa Joe needs to stay the commentary table. Joseph Park needs to hang out in the back, stay in the back. Bobby Roode needs to stay with Dolph Ziggler holding on to the SmackDown tag team titles, and they just stay away from the ring. If they're going to have a match, I want to see a wrestling match and not a match and not a bunch of interference with wrestling in the middle, or something cinematic.
One,
if they're going to do it.
One, Triple H is 51 at the moment, Tim. Two, so you want to do a cinematic match. Do you do a cinematic match inside a six-sided ring?
For
the TNA fans who remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
Or do you have like a WWE ring with a giant X across it?
You could. Ooh, you bring out the red cage. Everyone remember that red cage they did?
Oh, God, I hated that damn thing.
How about the dome? Let's bring. Let's
That's
get
what I'm
dome.
Talking about. The red dome thing. That was awful. Yeah. Oh, terrible. Omega, what about you? AJ Hunter?
I mean, I'd be interested in the match. Trips keeps himself in really solid shape, so I have no reason to believe he couldn't go if he really wanted to put on a good show. Well, also, it's AJ Styles who, I think he could be on his deathbed and still put on at least a 4-star match.
All right.
He'll always be ready to fly, if you will.
Just pulling back all the hits. All right, Casey. Who was your MVP this week, Casey?
I'm going to give it to Daniel Bryan and Cesaro. They put on a hell of a match on SmackDown.
Okay. Tim, who was your MVP?
Oh, boy. Tough call. There were a few things I liked this week from a few different... not all of it was wrestling. But at the end of the day, I'll go back and watch that AJ Styles Daniel Bryan Cesaro match a third time.
Okay. Omega, who is your MVP?
I kind of want to give it to Adam Pearce.
Okay.
I like the swerve. I like him dicking with Roman, because he's the first one with a character that Roman's got going right now, that takes some balls.
It does. All right. There you go. It's time for the all time greatest.
Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoops, he freaking knows.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You can keep up with the all-time greatest at WrestleTalkRadio.com. All right, Major Guns.
Well, wait. Before you go any further, I just want to go back and talk about that Adam Pearce thing really, really quickly, because that was really good storytelling. That was scripted out wonderfully. And I said to you, you and I were chatting on Skype during this whole bit. Wait a minute. Adam Pearce is a WWE official. He makes matches, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You said, yeah. And he says, well, how the hell is Roman Reigns able to rope him into a match? You said, well, somebody else booked it. And I'm like, fine. Who's to say that Adam Pearce can't book another match after doing the job for Roman at Rumble and sign somebody like, Kevin Owens? They pulled that trigger, but in a slightly different way from what I was thinking.
Just a little bit. All right. Up first, Major Guns takes on Gorgeous George Omega.
Struggle to remember either of them. God, I literally have no idea. Both of them were, both of them were shameless TNA for WCW. I literally am struggling to remember literally anything that either of them did that stood out to me in any way.
All right, we'll go to Casey.
I'm going to give it to Gorgeous George, basically solely because she was associated with Randy Savage. It's the only reason.
Okay, Tim.
Nothing.
Major Guns or Gorgeous George, Tim?
Huh. That's almost unfair. That is almost unfair.
For what reason?
Because they were both known for something that wasn't wrestling. More than anything else.
That's a couple of things. That's why it's female character, Tim, not just wrestler.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Who did it better?
That's why
Major Guns had something going on with that little, and she's all part of the faction and everything. That's the same faction that brought us G.I. Bro.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Misfits in action.
Yeah.
I mean, she also betrayed them and joined Team Canada.
So I think.
Yeah, she did.
I think for that alone, you're going Major Guns?
I mean, like I say, Gorgeous George, the only thing she really did was walk around with Randy Savage.
Yeah.
On screen.
On screen. Quick, qualify so you don't get sued.
So are you going with him?
No, I'm picking Major Guns.
All right, I'll second that. Major Guns moves on. All right, next, Beth Phoenix and Jazz. Casey?
That's tough. Both really, really good wrestlers. I'm going to pick Beth Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Omega?
I mean, by the same argument, it's not just about wrestling acclimate. It is also about character. And for that, you look at Beth's run with Santino.
Oh, yes. So good.
Yeah. So it's definitely Beth.
Tim?
Jazz, slightly different time with a slightly different focus. and her character fit perfectly. But with everything that happening with that Phoenix, with the Glamazon, WWE and their never-ending quest to find the next ninth wonder of the world, she fit the bill adequately enough with everything that she did. Yeah, it's Beth.
All right, Beth Phoenix moves on. Stacy Keibler and Madison Rayne. Tim.
Stacy Keibler. I'm not even going to hesitate on that one. It's just she did a hell of a lot with that character given to her. And yeah.
Casey.
I mean, Stacy Keibler did more character work than Madison Rayne as far as like range. She was a teacher, a superhero, wrestler,
secretary,
sometimes a wrestler. Madison Rayne was a great wrestler, multi-time champion, commentator for Impact Wrestling up until this past Saturday. I think I'm going to go with Stacy Keibler just because she was a superhero with Hurricane.
Oh my God.
I mean, I give her credit for staying power between, you know, debuting in WCW. She's one of the few women from WCW that really thrived moving into WWE. I mean, maybe not in the ring as much as Madison Rayne, you know, was considered as a wrestler, but Stacy always ended up in relatively good positions in the company. As a, there's no way I can get out of that statement, so I'm going to stop there.
I was just waiting to see if the shovel was going to keep going sideways.
But one way or another, she always just had a way of staying relevant, and I generally liked her pairings. You know, like I kind of liked going from Miss Hancock to like teaming with the Dudley Boys, because the Dudleys weren't weird enough. Let's also have let's have this sex bomb in our corner. I think I enjoy Stacy more than Madison. Also, third place in Dancing with the Stars. I can't take that away from her.
And finally, Melina and Sonya Deville. Oh my God.
Now the question here, can I remember Melina for anything other than doing the splits into the ring? Because I'm having trouble.
Copious amounts of fur?
I mean, I already talked about the splits. Where's her? There it is. I'm literally like looking up. Like she's got a heck of a career to her. Can't take that away from her. She's got a lot of titles. It's also been a long day and I just blanked on who the other girl was I'm trying to think of.
Sonya Deville.
Thank you. So not as long of a career, unfortunately. I think they've missed great opportunities to do really strong character work with Sonya. They started to touch on that and then they completely dropped it. Let's give it to Melina.
Casey?
I mean, wasn't the only reason they kind of stopped Sonya's stuff is because of what happened outside of
Mm-hmm.
So that was the
blow off that she was going to have with Mandy, but that's I'm remembering the storylines that her and Mandy wanted to do.
Yeah.
And everyone just kept telling her, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. We're not doing that. And then they jump over to Raw and they do it with Lana.
Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed Sonya's work at the end, right before she left. And it's probably only because it's fresher in my head than Melina, because Melina hasn't been on TV in a while. I don't know. That's tough. I think I'm going to give it to Sonya.
Okay. Tim, break the tie.
Sonya has a decent future in front of her, and we'll see a lot more from her. At this point, she's not been around long enough in comparison. Just by default, I'm giving it to Melina.
There you go. Keep up to date with more all-time greatest at WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Gee, it feels like almost have been a month since we did all-time greatest.
Just about. Let's go to break.
Everybody listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take a first, last, only little bit of a timeout. Come back and see if Rock can actually put me in my place that he thinks that I'm out of.
It's not my job. It's not my job. It's their job.
Hey. I said Charlotte Flair was overrated.
We'll find out if it's true or not next. So that's the break, Tim.
We'll be back right after this.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free. Thursday nights, it is the experience known as The Rack.
Hey, we love a safe move.
Let me check.
I don't know. In the truck, can we say boobs?
We need to get a check.
Hey, so
we need to get a check on boobs.
We need a check on boobs. Please, can you say boobs?
We have boobs. A thumbs up on boobs or a thing now.
Boobs are okay.
Any standards and practices people here, is boobs acceptable? I like boobs. You guys like boobs?
Well, boobs are okay with me.
Apparently, Hunter likes boobs, so are we good with boobs?
Yeah.
Listen to The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great Debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham, sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried to break. She tried
you.
She tried to break them up.
No, it's not her fault. Okay,
it is her totally her fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't do anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the Greater Than Great Debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more Greater Than Great Debates. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Score, of course, too. Yes! It happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at twitch.tv/WTLive and wildtalkradio.com. Tim missed his cue. I think he's running scared.
Possibly.
I mean, because this whole segment's based around him. He's not even here yet. Good job, Tim.
Oh, I'm here. My mic stopped working.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I had to unplug it and plug it back in, which means I had to get in a position from where I was extremely comfortable into a position where I was less comfortable, unplug it and plug it back in, and now I'm comfy again. And I was just giving the entire spiel, not realizing that I wasn't on.
Gotcha. All right.
I guess you had to be there.
Yeah.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Tim, not my idea.
Tim put this out there on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Is Charlotte Flair overrated? Tim, explain yourself. Why is she overrated?
Now, That wasn't to say she wasn't any good or anything like that, but I contend that a large part of the reason why she holds the spot that she does, and that she could take 6 months off and then come back. Yeah, okay, sure. She was injured and needed rehab. But come back and get into the title picture immediately. And you know that it's heading for a showdown between her and Asuka coming up at some point. But one of the main reasons she's there is because of her name. Yeah, Charlotte's good. But because her last name is Flair, she gets to have her daddy come to the ring and get involved in storylines. And of course people thinking the way they do about Ric Flair, especially after his almost miraculous recovery and everything, and just the treat that we still have Ric and we're still able to see him on Monday nights colors the situation, in my opinion. Now, it's just my opinion, but that's my opinion. These are my thoughts. Charlotte's good. Yes. I'm not saying she's not good. I will not dispute that. Does she need to be in the title picture all the time? I contend she's where she is in large part due to her bloodline. That's my stance.
Guys, it sounds like he's saying special treatment rather than overrated.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Okay, Tim, how is Charlotte's treatment any different than, say, The Rock and Stone Cold?
Well, how you putting Stone Cold in there?
Because you're talking about, oh, well, she could take 6 months off, go right back into the title picture. Yeah, that's what they do with the top stars. So your argument is that she's, you know, as far as women's division goes, she is not a big enough star to do that, in spite of the fact that that's how they've always treated big stars. John Cena can be in a title match no matter how long he spends in Hollywood because he's John Cena.
John Cena's overrated too. Sure was.
Well,
Cena was.
This is why I'm using Rock and Austin as an example. Rock can leave, film a movie, 4 months later, be right back into the title hunt. Austin can go get knee surgery or neck surgery, be back in 9 months and be right back into the title hunt.
Or Austin could take his ball and go home because he didn't want to do business, come back and still be at the top.
Also that, too.
Yeah, well, with The Rock, people hated his guts and, you know, Die Rocky Die was the fan chant that he brought into the ring. He turned the fans on his own. He pushed that. And that caused that tidal wave change. As far as, you know, what I said with Charlotte, yeah, a little bit of special treatment, a little bit overrated. The special treatment I've already laid out. Overrated, she's not horrible in the ring. There are women on that roster who are much better than her. One of them currently holding a title. Another one recently lost her SmackDown title. I think Bailey, in my opinion, is a better worker than Charlotte.
Now, are you saying that because TJ Wilson said she's the most improved wrestler he's ever seen?
No. And my friendship with TJ Wilson and Natty have nothing to do with this at all whatsoever. That wasn't even factored in when I said that she was slightly overrated.
I never said
highly overrated.
Well, now it's slightly. You just said overrated. Now you're saying slightly overrated. You're changing your story as you go.
That's still overrated.
You're changing your story as you go.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
You have changed the story.
No, I haven't. I still maintain she's overrated.
I wouldn't use the term overrated as much as I would use the term overused.
That was my thought.
Because overrated, like, in my opinion, a definition of that word in terms of wrestling, kind of like attributes to their work in the ring. And Charlotte's work in the ring is very good. So saying that she would be overrated isn't quite accurate because she, like, you can't dispute her abilities in the ring as being very good. But overused makes a bit more sense because, like you say, she comes back from an injury and she's already, you know, first night back, she's got tag titles. And you know that she's going to be put in a program with Asuka eventually. So overrated or overused? Yes. Overrated? No. And you can say the same thing about a lot of other people in the past as being overused in the top. Even though, like, their skill in the ring could back it up. So I think when a lot of people say someone is overrated, I think they just mean that, you know, they're shoved down our throats too much and should be, you know, have some time somewhere else. The only problem with that is the women's division is so small. So if you're not kind of in the title program one way or another, you're kind of lost in the shuffle. So what do you do with Charlotte if she's not in some sort of title picture?
I mean, that is a good argument for just doing more with the women's division in general instead of just one or two matches per Raw.
Oh, absolutely.
Having feuds that don't have anything to do with belts or like stereotypical women's issues, you know, like feuds with substance to them that just happens to be for the women rather than the guys.
Yep. Cause they do feuds with the guys all the time, and they don't, not all of them involve titles and stuff like that. So there's no reason that they couldn't have just, you know, like people hate each other for the sake of hating each other, as opposed to, well, you have the title and I want the title, and that's the only reason we're doing anything here. Otherwise we're just getting beat by people who are going after someone else who has a title, or vice versa.
So part of the problem for Charlotte is not that she's not necessarily overrated, because she is very, very good. It is overexposed because they really don't have space enough to do anything else other than use her every week.
Yeah.
See, that's more where my thought is. Like, if I were to ever call her overrated, it would only be because she has been very much the same style of worker with the same movesets since her first run in NXT, where a Charlotte Flair match is always going to look, you know, different from, you know, the Charlotte Flair match is always going to look the same because she hits the same. She has her spots she likes to hit. She has a certain style and a rhythm she likes to go for, and that's just how she works, you know, but that does kind of limit, you know, there's part of me that genuinely believes that, like, when it's time for the Hall of Fame to put them in, your four horsewomen of NXT, you're going to look back and see that Bayley was the best out of all four, not only because of how far she grew from, but also how much variety that she can roll out. You know, you look at the match in, you look at her run in NXT between her first and second matches with Sasha Banks for the title, and those matches were very different feels from each other. And then right into Nia Jax, where she worked a very different match to actually work Nia, and it's probably one of Nia's better matches. Probably is because Bayley was carrying her. And now to look, contrast that with Bayley from today, and it's such a different it's such a different look and vibe to the way she wrestles. You know, she has that variety in her history that, you know, Charlotte Flair does not have, face or heel. Charlotte Flair's just kind of been Charlotte Flair. So when you see Charlotte Flair perform, you're getting about the same performance you always expect. It's always going to be really, really good, but it's going to be familiar. It's the argument I used to have when I was defending Rob Van Dam. It's like, well, he's just, all of his matches are the same. Yes, because the guy's got a unique move set, and he tries to get everything in one match. Or rather, WWE wants him to get everything in one match. So the matches are going to feel similar, even though you know he's really good. Charlotte's kind of in that same boat for me, where I kind of wish she'd expand a little bit.
Yeah, like, so you could almost argue that most people work around Charlotte, where Bayley adapts to who she's wrestling.
Yeah, something like that. And part of me feels like that is very much like a Rock or Stone Cold vibe. Like, WWE views Charlotte Flair as their top women's star, period. Maybe that comes with a name that's irrelevant here. They view her as the top star because, yes, she is that good. She is very talented in the ring. She is, you know, she also does not happen to be bad to look at. You know, WWE likes that too. So, like, that was the idea of putting her back in NXT. She had the star power to bring attention to that brand, and they chose her rather than one of the guys, which, you know, speaks volumes of how much they think of Charlotte. So that's always going to be like their Rock, their Austin. You know, there is no point of like, we are, you know, mentally, there is no point in their mind where they go, we're overexposing her, or, you know, maybe she's not as good as we're booking her, because to them, that's their money draw female. Especially with no Becky Lynch right now.
Question, Tim.
What?
If Charlotte Flair didn't have the father that she did, and she was in the same spot without Ric Flair, would you still call her overrated?
And she was still in the same spot?
Basically, the exact same
same booking
timeline that she's had, yeah. But her name wasn't Flair. Would you still call her overrated?
Yep.
But, like, a large part of your argument was she gets special treatment because she's Ric Flair's daughter. So,
part of the argument, but...
If Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair's roles completely reversed, and they had each other's wrestling lives, would you call Becky overrated?
Omega sort of helped make the point that I meant with what I said. Charlotte's move sets, people have to work around her. She doesn't adapt to the people she works with. It's a case of there are wrestlers that are good, but you know that they couldn't carry a match. They couldn't make their opponents look good. We have seen this with Charlotte and an inferior opponent. On the opposite end, other side of that coin, we've seen Natalya. Natalya could have a match with a broomstick. Natalya could have a match with a beach towel and get it over. Okay. That's kind of my point. Omega said at the end of the day, when it comes time for to look at the Hall of Fame, everybody can say, well, you know, Bailey's underrated as Absolutely. Far as all of this goes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She is.
It's weird. We could say, like, she held the women's championship for the majority of 2020 and held up that whole division and still say she's underrated.
Yeah. That's got to say something right there.
Well, that's because not only can Bailey have an excellent match with a beach towel, she would be able to get it over just by talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not going to. I'm definitely not going to disagree with you on that one. I understand. Some of the bigger stars have a certain move set, and that's all there is to it. And they hit these spots at that time, and that's it. Ric Flair was notoriously famous for it. Sometimes he'd pull out something, part of his moveset where it had absolutely no place for no reason other than that's the point of the match where he normally does it. And Rick has done stuff like that. Better workers, better wrestlers than Charlotte, Asuka, Bailey, Sasha, Becky. There's four right there. Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that Charlotte wasn't any good.
Yeah, so she's just overpushed.
Okay, she's not as good as I've had conversations with people, both huge Charlotte fans and huge Charlotte haters. You get that. It's going to happen. Once again, it's opinion. And in my opinion, her limited moveset and her inability to make somebody else look good makes her overrated in comparison to the adulation she receives.
That's
and the adulation she receives goes to that, that's where that's air quotes special treatment, because, the bloodline, that's where the bloodline comes into play. It hasn't worked for Natty. Natty could wrestle circles around Charlotte. Natty got Charlotte over when Charlotte first came up to Raw. From NXT, they used Natty repeatedly, night after night after night, to get Charlotte over. And Keishi, you know this better than anybody else on this webcast. You use the best worker in your roster, on your roster, to get your next star over.
Yeah, for sure, man. Because, I mean, that's how you do it. You can even, like, a prime example of that is... a match Bret Hart had with, I can't even remember the guy's name, years ago, made him look like $1 million because of
the
Bret
Hart match.
Yes, the lost match. And then the guy's next match after that was just like, what happened? And the answer to that question was, well, he wrestled Bret Hart. That's what happened.
Yeah, Bret's so, that good.
Yeah. So
Bret
I mean,
was that good. They used Bret to get Stone Cold over.
Yeah. And they
and
did
Stone
so very well,
Cold
but,
was
and,
catapulted
like, the
through the stratosphere because of that match at 13.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're forever going to have, and this is just, it's just kind of a sucky part of the wrestling business, where more often than not, the real good workers and the guys that, naturally would deserve more usually end up taking a bit of a backseat to the ones that have been quote unquote chosen slash favorited by the people who run the company. In WWE's case, obviously, he has a very specific archetype of types of wrestlers that he likes. And so if you're passable and you have the look that the dude running the show likes, chances are you're going to get favored over someone who may not have that look, but could theoretically wrestle circles around you. It's kind of luck of the draw in that. Does it suck? Absolutely, because there are a lot of good wrestlers who don't get a fair shake because of it. But, I mean, the wrestling business is still a business, and much like most things, it's not necessarily the most fair.
Kind of like the way I booked Mike Briggs to go over Pete Wilson.
Right.
When I did that match, and we brought him in as a I had him billed as, like, you know, the latest graduate from Landstorm's Wrestling Academy. And immediately that match, at least with CAW, that match actually made Maverick Mike Briggs. He was Bucky Briggs in RCW. Different story, different city, 9 times out of 10. But that, you know, I took booking. Bucky Briggs and made him Maverick Mike Briggs and got Pete to get that over.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, Tim, I played devil's advocate before.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it WWE's fault Charlotte is overrated?
You're a bugger.
Because here's the thing. Because of the way that they have booked her, she has not had the need to evolve how she is. You look at Bayley, she got put in that spot where she was kind of fading out, you know, where she was just kind of just having like typical Bayley stuff. So she was put in a position where it was time to change her character. It was time to freshen her up because she was going down in attention. She wasn't getting the push she was deserving. So that's when the reinvention begins. Becky Lynch had the same thing because Becky was good. Fans wanted her to be, you know, something. And WWE, you know, it's like the harder they pushed Becky Lynch down the roster, the more the fans wanted to see her pushed back up. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get the shift to the man and like revolutionizing women's wrestling. You've never been in that position with Charlotte because she's always been booked at the top, because they view her as their rock, their Stone Cold.
Paid her dues.
No, absolutely not, because she worked up through the NXT system. I'm not taking that away from her. What I'm saying is, because she's never been in that position, because she's always been The Rock or Austin in the mind of WWE, she's never been in a spot where it was time to switch things up, where it was time to evolve. Kind of similar to John Cena, where you see a limited moveset. Cena busted out like one new move every 5 years. Because he's just booked in that position where he didn't have to do anything different. You know, and ultimately, WWE doesn't want them doing anything different because they think it's still working.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they do that, Charlotte, you can see how talented Charlotte is. You know, if she's given the chance to expand, I have no doubt in my mind she could. I don't think, like, as good as Charlotte is, I don't think we've seen the best Charlotte can be. And I think that is because WWE has never put her in a position where you need to freshen up or we're going to lose track of you in the mix.
I have to admit, you kind of have a point. I mean, look at Hulk Hogan's work in Japan compared to his work in WWE. There are people who have grown up watching WWF, WWE, WCW, who have never seen any of his work. They would be shocked as hell. They're like, is that the same guy?
I mean, that's the WWE effect.
Yeah,
you can find old training matches with the Great Khali where he's doing drop kicks.
Yeah.
You get him to the main roster and he's just headbutting people. It doesn't matter if you're a Hulk Hogan or whatever he was.
Like, yeah.
WWE will soften your style if they think you should be working a certain way.
Let me explain what I was talking about when I said paying your dues. I was talking about as far as that goes, not taking anything away from her busting out in NXT, working her ass off. But you said it, Bayley. was deep pushed for a little while. There were two reinventions. Bayley experiencing the downside of her initial popularity. There was right there, you know, she worked at change. And you're working to get yourself over as a different character. Sure. You're working to get yourself over as a person proving you belong. Sure. That's, I don't know if I'm failing with what I'm trying to say or not, or if I'm succeeding here, but
I'm kind of following you.
It's like you said, Charlotte's been put in a position to win ever since she came up from NXT. She hasn't had to do all of that extra stuff. Has Charlotte ever been in the mid card? No.
No.
Has Bayley? Yeah. Has Becky? Yeah.
Becky's been in the low card.
Right? Yeah. Forget mid card. Right? They've all busted their asses to act, legitimately claim that spot on the roster. With Charlotte, it was acclaimed. So I think if it's WWE's fault, I kind of sort of have to say, yeah, it could be.
Because WWE, like, they set her down in NXT and worked her way up. You know, she was just Charlotte down there. You knew it was Ric Flair's daughter, but they didn't really want you to know that at first. So she didn't get nearly as much of a rub from that as she did when she made the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, when they decided that Charlotte was going to be their top star, they just put her on this throne, and the throne is way too comfortable. You know, she's never been in that position where this isn't working anymore, because WWE wants it to still work.
Yeah.
So unless she gets kicked off that throne, and you'd have to have a massive fan backlash where merch isn't selling, matches are, you know, not, you know, matches are getting ignored. You'd have to, you know, and, hey, that's really hard to do these days with no audience. But you're going to have to be in that position where just the audience is just fully rejecting her. You know, like, they got sick of, like, Bayley turned heel because the audience just got sick of, you know, the happy hugging routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously us smarks on the internet are sick of how overbooked Charlotte is. But, you know, there's a reason they do it. It's still working on some level. The same way we couldn't see it with Cena, I think we're not seeing it with Charlotte. Like, I think there's something on the back end where they're seeing, like, Charlotte is working the way she is. So she is going to be our top star, and nothing about her is going to change.
With that, I think we're done.
That's it. That's all, folks. That's another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Really appreciate all of our live listeners. And we all really appreciate those of you listening to the archive, downloading it, listening it on your iPod or whatever podcast player you use. Thanks a whole bunch. We really appreciate it.
He said,
don't forget to coordinate immediately following
iPod.
What?
You said iPod. In 2021, you said iPod. Okay.
Oh, there's no such thing? What is it? What is it now?
Your iPhone. Your iPad. I don't think many people rock the iPod these days.
Is that not a thing anymore? Oh, did everybody move to get that new one, the Zoom?
It's coming soon in Canada, Tim. You should go sit and pick it up.
Yeah, no more watching Guardians of the Galaxy for me this month.
Here's the fun thing. On my Transformer podcast, when every time we post it on our message boards, it's... we said this link of, like, okay, here's an Apple, like, here's the RSS feed. And for the Zoom user, singular, there's always a link for them.
You got one person listening with a Zoom.
Anyway, as you mentioned, the Raw Post Show is live tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I was talking about that. And, of course, Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of the multi-time award-winning Rack Radio Show with Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, we'll have NXT, all the news, and some sort of discussions. The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, oh, don't forget Fortnite with your friends.
Fortnite with friends, Thursdays and Saturdays.
Yeah, of course, Saturdays, midnight-ish, or as close as I can get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Retired Extremely Dangerous CB Radio.
Yeah, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com.
Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, we'll be back. We'll preview the Royal Rumble. They've got until when to get into the contest?
Till we start the show next Sunday.
There you go. Right up until showtime. All you got to do on Facebook is tweet Wild Talk Radio, I want in. Just say, I want, you know, post I want in on the Facebook pages, and you're in. That's all you got to do. It's that easy. So get into it for the Royal Rumble contest. We'll be picking names and numbers. And it's 100% completely randomized because Rock uses a randomizer. Isn't that the Randomizatron 2000 or something?
Sure.
Why not? Go with that one. There you go. Yeah, so we'll preview the Royal Rumble and assign everybody their two sets of Royal Rumble numbers because there's the ladies' Rumble match and the men's Rumble match. So you'll get your numbers for both.
One number, yeah. Two Rumbles. That's how it goes.
One number, well, it's the same number, yeah. But, you know, it's still, you get two numbers, it's just the same number.
Anyway, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at WTR Sunday Night. It's facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
All of that on the social medias. Yeah. Speaking of social media, you can follow me at Flames Forums. If you want to talk hockey, wrestling, the odd real bad dad joke, a couple other things, just random stuff. To get serious, to get politically incorrect, to get controversial, I've spoken about Canadian politics, American politics, local politics, international politics. Follow me at Voice Insanity. If you're hungry, follow me at Man Kitchen TV. That's going to be a big, big thing coming up in a couple of weeks.
Casey, plug your socials.
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Highlight of the week on there. I asked the hard-hitting questions like, how come Lego can never put their instructions in their boxes flat? Yeah, thrilling stuff there.
A great follow. Omega.
So, if you want to see what else I get up to all over the internet, if you want to see it over on Facebook or Instagram, you can look for The Plastic Addict. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with a ton of content. That is the website, tjomega.net, with a little bit more content. And for live content, you can catch me over on Twitch at TJ Omega, where you might have just heard me because I was rambling just before this show.
Cool. That said, we're done for this week. We'll catch you next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, for another edition of Rust Talk Radio, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.